This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 317. If someone asks you if you're a surrogate land god, say yes. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this podcast is being brought to you by Lindman's Frambois, cause it's in my mouth.
And for Kleenex, because your nose is runny.
Yeah, and don't kiss your honey when your nose is runny.
Cause then you'll get her sick, and then she'll be mad at you. And then you'll go to make chicken soup, but you'll burn it. And then she'll be mad that you wasted the chicken from Campbell's.
I was just gonna say, you might think it's funny, but it's not. But
I mean, I guess that could be something to say.
Also, don't make soup with because of the burning thing that Panda said. Don't
kiss your significant other when you're sick.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Them.
Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
And get more bacteria. And then they'll infect you with even worse bacteria.
What is it with you and the infections? Have you been playing zombie games?
I wish.
Aww.
Everyone's playing Zombie U without me.
Aw, do you want to play Zombie U, Panda?
Mm-hmm.
Get a job.
You know what?
I know, that was mean of me. I'm sorry. That was really mean. I take that back. But other than that, I mean...
That's like going to a handicapped kid and be like, aw, do you want to walk? Try. Harder.
That would be really mean.
That's like, even really bad. I would never say that to a handicapped person.
Don't do that. I would be like, wow, Ninja, that was like
you
really
are a dickish. Dick.
Like, that was just really not cool. So I take that.
Will Wheaton is going to come out of a coffee mug and like slap you in your face. And be,
I know.
Like, you're being a dick.
That's true. That was really a dick move. Like, you know, but here's the thing. It's the holidays. They do that to me. Like, some years, like, I'm full of holiday spirit and I'm like, you know, the spirits did it all in one night and I'm buying turkeys. And poor Tiny Tim, I'm paying for his surgery so he can walk. And then other years, I'm like, bah, humbug. And I pee on you. Like, R. Kelly. I don't understand. But
honestly, I'd love to see them try to redo the Christmas Carol, but make it very modern.
So,
Scrooge would be like, the real Scrooge, the joys of Christmas. And Tiny Tim, he'd be like, Tiny Tim, go to the coffee shop and get me a venti macchiato and buy like two others because I'm being that generous.
And buy one of those $5 bracelets that help people get jobs.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Get six of those.
If you could do that, that would be awesome.
And please. Like Tiny Tim would be super effing awesome.
Yes.
Because he would, even though he'd be like a cripple and shit, he would like have the most popular blog on the internet and everyone would love him.
Tiny Tim would be Will Wheaton.
No.
Yes. Will Wheaton would be an awesome Tiny Tim.
He'd be like, don't be a dick.
Exactly.
And everyone would be like, you're right, Tiny Tim.
Exactly.
You're right, Tiny Will. No one should be a dick on Christmas.
Whatever your birthday is. Twitterverse. Let's make this happen. But I digress. Look, we went off on a major tangent and we hadn't even finished the intro to the show. Panda, how was your week?
Wait, a week passed already?
Seriously, I didn't ask how you were doing. We didn't even get to that part.
See, when you get to that point where you don't have a job, the days kind of just turn into the same day over and over again.
Is it like Groundhog Day?
Not even.
But without Bill Murray?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, I know that there's a week's past because we had Thanksgiving last week. Where I cooked some fantastic macaroni and cheese.
I know, your macaroni and cheese is the bomb.
It's the bomb, diggity.
It is. I can't even, like,
we had foodings with family and friends, and then I got drunk at the Lurpster Shanty.
Lurpster Shanty!
Lurpster Shanty!
You know, it's a good tradition. It's a good tradition.
I enjoy that tradition immensely.
Yeah, it's a good
one. I'm glad we only do it once a year.
It's really important that we only do it once a year because you can't afford to get
arrested. My colon and liver would die and then I would die.
And
then there'd be no show.
There would be no podcast.
For, and Ninja would be you. Sad and lonely.
Without you, I would be sad and lonely. I would has a major sad.
I know.
And, you know, that's so just
let's hope
cool.
I live forever. Let's At least hope I live until you've died.
You outlive me. Let's just go with that, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so now that we've got all the morbid thoughts out of the way.
Dead animals eating for a sacrifice of thankfulness. Black Friday, where several people have been confirmed dead by trampling at the mall.
Don't say that unless you looked it up. Did you look it up?
No. All right, then. Somebody somewhere died at a mall yesterday.
No, most places are pretty good about the security and whatnot because it's gotten out of hand.
Well, parts of our childhood died with the whole, you know, Kevin Klass Clash conspiracy.
Oh, you know, no parts of my childhood died, okay? Since you're going to go there, let's just finish this up and get it done.
I feel like it's something we should discuss.
I don't know why. It has nothing to do with video games.
No, well, that's not true.
What?
All those Sesame Street games?
Yeah, but not all of them are fully voiced.
I know, but the ones that were.
Ugh, all right, fine. So here's the deal. Kevin Clash, who is the puppeteer who came up with Elmo, provides his voice and all that kind of stuff. Started out the week pretty good in that a case that was possibly going to be held against him for allegedly participating and having sexual relations with a minor.
Not one.
No, the first one was one, and those charges were then dropped because it was determined that there was no foundation, meaning that nothing inappropriate happened as far as breaking the law and having a sexual relationship with a minor. And so Kevin was getting ready to resume his work at the Children's Workshop, which is the group that does Sesame Street and all that wonderful stuff. And then another person came forward and launched a suit against Kevin, claiming very similar things. As such, Kevin has now resigned from the Children's Workshop and the studio. What that means for Elmo, we don't really know. There are lots of puppeteers that could do the puppet, but as far as actually mimicking the voice, which is a very, very distinct and well-known voice, that's kind of up in the air. So we don't really know what's going to happen with dear old, poor old Elmo. Now, I can't say yay or nay, because I wasn't in the man's bedroom, about whether or not he had any kind of inappropriate relationship with a minor. What I can say is I find it very suspicious that just now, after the documentary about Kevin and featuring him and his family became popular and seen by many people, that these people step forward. I find the timing to be very interesting, is the way that I'll say that. Now, I'm not in the man's bedroom. I don't know whether or not he had sexual relationships with these men or not. I don't know if they were of age or not, but like most people should do, I'm going to wait for the court case and for the facts to come out before I pass any judgment.
Okay.
That's just me.
All right.
You're the one that brought it up, so I figured you must have had some thoughts.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was just a little sad to see it happen. I mean, I had seen something on my Facebook, I want to say at least 2 weeks ago, about the first pre-exposure to the fact that something was going down in Sesame Street with Kevin. And I'm like, oh no, not again. But, I mean, I just kind of wanted to bring it up just a little bit because, I mean, I don't think that there's a lot of foundation for it. I do think that you're right and that this person had so much time to be like, oh yeah, he did bad things to me. I mean, granted, if I were going to play this, you know, if I was going to do something like this, I would have done it at the same time as the first accusation. Class action lawsuit.
If I was having an inappropriate relationship with somebody, I would speak up while I was having the inappropriate relationship with somebody.
Well, maybe the sex was good.
And, oh, it's You know what?
What?
I can't. I don't. What? I can't even follow that. All I'm gonna say is, you know, I think that it's a bit much to say my childhood is destroyed because
no, it's just a little sad. And you used to be you were a big Elmo fan.
I am a huge Elmo fan.
So I would have thought that
didn't go away. I'm not gonna be. You know, it's for me. It's kind of like all the stuff that happened with Michael Jackson and all of his accusers, right? Everybody that just kept coming forward and coming forward after the first accusation. Oh, Michael diddled my kid too, and Michael touched my boy, or Michael touched my girl, or whatever. And
wait, he touched girls too?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think anybody ever alleged that he touched a young little girl. And the majority of those things were settled either out of court. And I can understand people settling because they just don't want to fight stuff. You know, it takes a lot of time and effort and money to do so. And, I'm not convinced, frankly, that Michael was any kind of child molester. I don't think that he was completely mature and adult, you know, but I don't believe him to be a sexual being. So I never really found much grounds in any of the cases that were ever brought to court or brought up. And I still don't. I just can't imagine Michael as a sexual being, period, let alone a pedophile. Okay? And I have the same feeling about Kevin Clash. I mean, you know, I have no problem with him being gay. I have no problem with, you know, any of the things that he's done for decades, as far as the work that he's done with the Children's Network and Sesame Street to, frankly, enrich the lives of children. You know, there have been a lot of charitable work that both Sesame Street, Kevin as an individual, and the Children's Network have done. So I just refuse to jump on the hype train and cast the man aside and label him right off the bat as a pedophile.
I think those words are pretty strong. I wasn't saying that he was one.
But that's what a lot of people have jumped the gun to. It's like, oh, look, of course, because he came up with a character for children and loves children and, you know, supposedly had sex with someone when they were 17. Yeah, he's a pedophile. And it's really tough to bounce back when people put labels like that on people. So I just
too many people to buy are watching Death to Smoochie.
You know, I'm not jumping on the hype train. I'm going to wait for the truth to come out. And if it turns out that he had an inappropriate relationship, then there are consequences to that. And he should own up to that. If he didn't, then I say you need to file a civil suit, Kevin, and sue the ever-loving Jesus out of these people. So that more people don't come
character
out of the woodwork to try and... Exactly. You know, so, I mean, that's kind of where I sit, and I really didn't want to jump up in any conversations, and, you know, I saw the same stuff on my Facebook feed that you have seen, and a lot of my friends, many of which who have children, have jumped on the, oh my God, of course he's a pedophile, of course, and I can't believe this, and I won't let my children watch Sesame Street now. Well, don't be retarded.
Well, for one, I mean, he took the right action to excuse himself from the lineup, but can you really honestly imagine Sesame Street without Elmo?
Exactly, and how many children are going to be affected by that. So I just think that it's a lot of steps and, you know, I'm going to wait for the truth to come out, and it will, you know, and either it'll turn out that something illegal happened or something illegal didn't happen. And once that's determined, then, you know, I'll jump on board and have a more definitive, oh my God, that was just so wrong, or that was just so right, and add my opinion to the smattering of opinions that really don't matter much, or, you know, just be like, look, as it turns out, just another gold digger trying to get some more money and trying to capitalize on a really poor situation. Because I'm sorry, I can't imagine. I mean, Kevin Clash is not a small dude, okay? If somebody like that did something to me, I would, like, tell immediately. I wouldn't wait.
That'd be like if Oprah inappropriately touched me, I wouldn't hide that and wait.
Suspiciously until 6 years later to be like, oh yeah, by the way,
Oprah touched me too.
Totally did. And it was really inappropriate.
Her and Gail,
back when I was 17,
came at
5 years ago.
With Kentucky Fried Chicken. We weren't on camera.
We were going to watch the Yeah Yeah Sisterhood, and then I was like, no, no, but they were like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, that stuff. Well,
what a horrible movie to get raped to.
That would just, that's not really
Sandra Bullock, not Sandra Bullock's best, not, I will say that.
Not appropriate. So, you know, I'm just going to wait and not, you know, cast any aspersions until it's time to cast aspersions.
With truth.
But enough about that. We've got video game stuff to talk about. And
I know you have console stuff to talk about.
Anime stuff to talk about.
I only have a little anime stuff to talk
about. Well, we could talk a lot about the anime stuff. And I kind of overpowered the episode.
Oh, you're totally going to overpower the episode.
No, well, and I've done it in the past. So I'm actually going to let you go first, Panda.
Oh, well, because mine will probably maybe take 10 minutes.
No, It should take more than that because I have also watch the thing that you're going to talk about. So why don't you go ahead and talk about it.
So
anime lead off.
Yep. So
sponsored by Frambois.
Or I mean, I've been watching it for more than a week now, but I didn't want to talk about it last week. But I watched a series called Kamisama Kiss.
Kamisama Hajimemashita.
Yeah, that big heap of letters together.
Yeah, and I've been drinking beer. And
you just started, Ninja. It's not like you've been throwing them back since noontime.
I know, but that would have been awesome.
Oh, God, we wouldn't be doing this show.
It would be a completely different show.
Where's the start button?
It would be a completely different show.
I'd be like, Panda, I can't. It's not reading my mic.
Panda, I have it on mute. I can't read my mic.
It's like it's not on. Where's the on button?
Hit the mute button.
Anyway. So, right now, I'm watching it on Crunchyroll. Actually, no, correction. That's Hulu Plus, because I have a Hulu Plus account. I do believe it's available on Crunchyroll also, and I do believe you can get it on regular Hulu if you don't pay.
I do believe
you are correct. It is accessible.
It is accessible.
You can watch it if you want to.
You can also find it on Dailymotion if you don't want to pay for services, but you gotta really look for it.
A lot of people consider it like a romantic comedy and drama. See what I did there?
A romantic dramedy?
A romantic dramedy.
That's a lot of genre.
Fancy, has some fantasy and also some supernatural stuff going in it.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So it's more than romantic dramedy. It's a sci-fi
fantasy,
rom-com dramedy.
Yeah. The animation style, I would say it lends itself to Fruits Basket, if you've ever looked at the animation style of the characters in Fruits Basket.
I would agree.
I would say that. It also kind of has this weird flair of fashion with additional characters that you meet along the way, kind of in a Paradise Kiss sort of way, if you've ever watched Paradise Kiss.
I have not, but I will take your word
for it. Oh, God, that is genius. It's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning.
Do you have it?
No.
Oh.
And because it was produced, like, by Jinion, you're probably not going to find any prints.
Damn it, Jinion!
Very much like, Paranoia Agent, where I had it, but next boyfriend took it from me, and I never got it back. Even though I paid for it at an anime convention at an inflated price. But you know what? I've moved on.
Paranoia Agent was good.
Oh, God. Don't you remember I was, like, on a giant kick?
Yep. It was good stuff.
For, like, months. Yep. I kept digging into it, and I'm like, this symbolism everywhere! What does it mean? What does it mean?
I want to explore it like this was my thesis.
I want to explore it like a cavity, and I was a dentist. That's how intently I wanted to probe that series.
You were intense about Paranoia Agent. That's true.
However, so like I said, the animation style of Kamisama Kiss reminds me a lot of Fruits Basket. And actually, I mean, granted, the female lead, Nanami, is not necessarily like Toru is in Fruits Basket, where she's very pure and really, really naive. This main character does have some naivete.
Naivete. You got the word right now. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And I mean, she's in high school, so, you know, this is during that time where, you know, all of our hormones are like, ah, blah, 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 and we're trying to make sense
of
it.
Wait, her hormones are like what?
They're like that.
Uh-huh. That noise that the Tasmanian devil makes?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
Wait, you don't want that.
We're all like female Tasmanian devils trying to sort out our hormones and our emotions. And we're trying to find love. We're trying to understand what love is. And all of our girlfriends were all like, we're sluts. And they're all like, yeah. And it's a big mess.
I'm just going to let you go. I'm not interrupting that at all.
It's a big mess in high school. But anyway.
It's a hot mess.
So we're stupid bitches. Anyway, so Nanami's her father is an excessive gambler. So much so that he's racked up a lot of debt.
Like, so much debt.
Like, all the big mafia groups are coming after him because he owes that much money.
He owes.
Like, he needs to go on Shark Tank with a great idea.
He needs to get that funding and then use that funding to hurry up and pay off what he owed.
But instead of, you know, doing the adult thing and, you know, trying to work out payment arrangements and whatever, he just hauls ass and just abandons Nanami.
Nanami!
Yeah. And not only is his debt that bad that they're looking for him, but the house gets seized and she literally becomes homeless in the first episode. So there's no fucking around in this series. We're like, we're going to hit you with the strings now. And she's very frugal, and, you know, because she's had to be the voice of reason.
Because her dad is a deadbeat.
Yeah. So everyone's just like, oh man, she lives such a hard life. And she kind of gets poked at, not necessarily teased, but several of the characters, the classmates, will.
No, she gets teased. Like, straight up, she has like, this one guy who's a bully to her every
day. Yeah, but I think it's because he secretly wants to hit it, though.
I'm sure it's because he secretly wants to hit it.
Or not so secretly, which is why he's teasing her. Right, because, you know, that's like, how boys work.
Brutal about it, though. Like, he pokes jokes about how she always has poor people lunches.
Do you not have money for lunch bread? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like, seriously, but it's not like, you know, ooh, I like you, so I threw a rock at you because I'm a boy. Like, he's
wait, they
really
throw rocks still?
Sometimes. When they're younger, they're like, this man, is my pebble. I got your attention. Oh my god, she looked at me.
I got the hair pulling. That's what I got.
But he is, like, really, really mean. Always poking out and pointing out that she's poor, that she doesn't have anything.
You don't have money.
You know, that she isn't the same as everybody else in the class. To the point where Nanami actually shrinks into herself a little bit when he's around, even though more times than not, she's very, she has a lot of bravado because she's trying to project that she's okay so that people will leave her alone.
Right.
But whenever he's around and makes comments, like, she does shrink into herself a little bit.
But moving along with the
moving right
story.
Along. I'll
so one night while she's in the park, really kind of lamenting at the fact that she is now homeless and trying to figure out what the fuck she's gonna do to, you know, survive and live. She hears this barking of like this dog, and she follows it, and it's this cute little puppy. And there's this man up in a tree, and he's like kind of freaking out over this puppy. So she manages to, you know, contain the threat of this cute puppy, and
I know, seriously, he's a little teeny tiny
like,
puppy.
Like, it's real, like,
but you would think it was a wolf.
Yeah. I mean,
that had this guy pinned in a tree.
You would think, by the way, he was, like, shaking up in the tree. But she manages to, you know, contain the threat and shoo it away enough for him to come down. And he is called, Mikage. And he's like, oh, you know, thank you so much for saving me from this dog, you know, and she's just like, don't worry about it. And he's just like, well, what's wrong with you? You know, and she's like, oh, you know, life's just, you know, life's hard. My dad kind of sucks. I don't have a home. And no, and he's like, yeah, I've been kind of, you know, I kind of abandoned my home a while ago. And, you know, I understand that. But what are you going to do? And she's like, I'm trying to figure that out. And he's like, you know what? I have a place. If you need a home, I can give you a home. You know, and like, and he's got like glasses and like palish blonde hair and kind of, it seems like a romantic gesture or a poor thing gesture. And he goes.
But at the same time, he's wearing a trench coat. So part of you is like, is he a flasher?
I thought that this was going to go that way, but it didn't. But he leans in really close to her and he just gives her a little innocent peck on the head and was like, here's this address for this place. Go there. I'm like, and when you go there, you'll meet someone and just tell them that I've sent you. And that's it. And she's all like, haha, that's so funny. But on the whim, she decides that she's going to go. Because, you know, it's not like she has anywhere else she can go.
She has nothing to lose.
She has nothing to lose by showing up. But she finds it's like this old, abandoned, rundown shrine. To it, Fresh is like, oh, great. What a great joke that was. And as she's preparing to leave, these voices kind of come out of nowhere like, oh, my God, it's Mikage. Now, mind you, it's not because it's her. But you kind of find out that Mikage is a land god. Or was. Or is. I'm not exactly sure how the transfer of power really works in this, though.
Mm.
But he has bestowed upon our heroine the land god mark, which now makes her the god of
the shrine.
Of this shrine in this area and the people in it who come and pray at
the
shrine.
She is a surrogate land god.
Yeah. And she gets greeted by these two little impy servants who maintain the shrine or, you know, are keepers of the shrine, rather.
Yep, spirits.
And they wear masks, so you never actually know what their faces look like. They're kind of like comedic characters because even though they are, you know, spirits of the shrine, they seem pretty naive in something. But there's another spirit keeper. Slave?
Not slave.
Follower?
Familiar.
Familiar? Yeah, that's the word. Whose name I am...
Tomoe,
that's right. I have my notes. I have them. Uh-huh. I just didn't flip the page. Anyway, so Tomoe,
is
very attractive, but that's not the point.
No, it is the point. Tomoe
so
is
like
hot.
We mentioned earlier, Mikage has a fear of dogs.
Yep.
Dogs and like wolves and stuff like that. Tomoe was a... was a wild fox.
Yep.
That Mikage kind of put his wham-bam on, his influence on, and made him a familiar to him. Mm. And familiars, you know, sustain the energy of the shrine, they take care of their masters, you know, and most of them are gods or yokai or, you know, a mixed assortment of any of that. But this girl is now the land god, which means now Tomoe is the familiar to...
No. Back it up. So Nanami is met by the spirits of the shrine.
Yes.
Tomoe sees her, realizes that she's not Mikage, refuses to be her familiar.
That's right, because she has to make him or contract him as her familiar.
Correct. He refused because he had a contract with Mikage, not with her, so he gives her a bunch of shit because she's not Mikage and refuses to be her familiar at first.
Oh, by the way, to make the contract, you gotta kiss him.
Yeah.
You kiss them.
Which
now makes some sense because Mikage kissed her forehead and that was a contract. And with her showing up at the shrine... fulfilled the contract.
Correct. And so Nanami has some expectations and of what Tomoe is and does for the shrine. And it's only after she learns what some of her responsibilities are and what Tomoe has been doing through the two spirits that have been protecting the shrine tell her over the course of, by the way, the first episode... what he's been up to, she starts to realize that, you know, she really needs him around, and he decides that he's not going to be, and so she has to venture not only to find him on the other side to bring him back. It's dangerous for her to go, because even though she got the kiss from Mikage, she's still a human, so yokai still want to eat her.
Yeah.
Plus...
and she hasn't really started developing her god abilities yet, even though she has been deemed worthy by this land god. But only through doing godly deeds will she start materializing or manifesting her power as this now god.
Correct.
So right now she's really squishy. So think of her as like a level 5 rogue in like Warcraft or whatever. Kind of squishy. And
why you gotta make it about Warcraft?
Because a lot of people understand the reference.
Okay.
That's why.
All right.
But anyway, and you start looking at the bonds between the spirits and her and Tomoe and her. And of course, because he's a hot fox sex man, you know, she's going, my vagina. Well, not necessarily.
Well,
but her mind, she's like, my heart. It keeps fluttering whenever he's around. Yeah, bitch, because you like him.
Well,
and
I
the
mean,
blood be a-flowing to all those nether areas.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, first of all, Kami-sama has by far the weirdest intro song theme.
I really think we should do a mini-series about the lyrics that I have opening songs
ever
often have
seen. Like, usually lyrics are a little bit off when they get translated. I can't.
It depends. It really depends. Because I've noticed that some anime series will look to whatever the trending band over there is and will try to find a song that they've already done that kind of applies.
Yes.
And then they go out and they'll find certain bands like, we'd like you to write a song for this.
Right.
And then you'll get a very theme-oriented song that has to do with the actual
series
itself.
Yes, but I feel
itself.
Like the theme to Kami-sama Kiss was literally they asked a bunch of random poets to write some sonnets, and they picked some lines from the sonnets and threw them together.
I think they got two poets.
And they said, tell us about what you think puberty for a girl in high school would be like.
It's so hard for girls in this
and
world.
They took the two sonnets and mushed them together, and maybe a weather forecast. And that's what
and
the
that's
entrance
what this
song ended
is.
Up being. We'll include a link to it because I'm pretty sure you can find it on YouTube.
I'll put a link up to the opening.
But
you gotta
actually experience this theme song to understand. What I like about Kami-sama Kiss is that it's really about relationship.
Oh yeah,
and it's relationship not only between friends. But also relationships between
the opposite sexes.
The opposite sex, you know.
And I mean, also if you want to take it to a weirder place, you know, demons and humans.
Yeah, but I think, you know, as you get further into episodes, you meet other characters and you start to realize that Nanami is very caring and very deep. And even Tomoe starts having a crisis of conscience because he very much is against yokai and humans being friends, and part of that
or
has
even
to do,
and lovers on top of that.
Exactly.
So if he doesn't want to be in friends, he definitely doesn't want to put his thing in.
And obviously there's something in his past that makes him think that or feel that way, and as you get through more episodes, that starts to become a little bit more apparent because you start to experience some of Tomoe's past and you get to do this through Nanami's eyes, and it's very interesting to see her reaction, but she finally gets to a point where she makes a confession to Tomoe, who's just really completely oblivious.
Like, what if I did have special feelings for you? You're just flustered and your body is doing all this stuff. Let's just air you out on the top of this building until you come to your senses. No, I don't want to come to my senses. Drop. Whoops. My bad.
Yeah, you gotta watch that episode. But I find that...
Spoilers,
even for all of the silliness... I know, Panda's just like, I'm gonna tell you about this whole thing, like, right now, right quick. But through the whole thing, what I like about it is it has some very nice... I won't say serious, but I will say relatable relationship moments. That are balanced with just over-the-top silliness, and so it makes it a very enjoyable series. For me, it's like Steel Angel Kurumi without the boobs.
I wouldn't make that statement.
What?
And
it's silly.
I own both sets of Kurumi, the original one and then the other one.
The third one just didn't make any sense to me, so I stopped watching it. But I say that only because it is very silly, and you have a lead character who is very naive but is very focused on her feelings.
Which kind of makes her hard to be it's funny because when you first see her and she starts neglecting the whole god duty, she's like, yeah, I'll get to that. I can't ignore school because school is important, but, you know, she has to start living in the frame of, I'm a god now. It's so much bigger than me, and I think we're going to start seeing that. Because, like I said, I think there's only about 6 or 7 episodes available for watching now. So they haven't aired the whole season yet, but I feel like we're going to start seeing her really take on the god aspect of her life now. But there have been some obstacles that have already been presented where there have been ways that the God mark has been taken from her.
Yep.
And I'm like, so if she can just, if someone can just take it from her whenever.
But I think that part of the reason that they are able to take it is because she doesn't have enough power to keep them from doing
maybe. That. And that might be something they'll explore. I mean, I'd like to see that because literally in that episode, I'm like, so if they can just bop her on the head and like drop the gold disc, like, this series could easily be only 7 episodes. Boop, we're done. The end.
Yeah, bye-bye. Thank you so much. But, I mean,
it is super cute, and it's harmless. Like, it's not gonna hurt you. It's not art-housey enough to, like, fuck with your brain.
It's not Elfin Lied, people.
Oh, God. Which I also own. But
I'm just saying, it's not.
But, yeah. So, I mean, you could follow along if you're already watching it. Then, I mean, I tend to talk about these things on our, you know, our Facebook page. When something interesting pops up that I want to talk about. So, you know, if you are in the mood for a fruit basket plus paradise kiss, you know, pass of a day, then check out, Kamisama Kiss. It is cute and, it is enjoyable and it's not overly saccharine or overly dramatic.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's not Fushigi Yugi. It's not Ergo Proxy. It's not for me.
Escaflowne. Alan! Sorry.
Are you alright now?
Oh, man.
Are you good?
Oh, Vaughn was my favorite, though. The things I would do to that winged
Easy. Easy.
But not him in the manga, though. But I've had that argument several times over the last 6 years. About that. But no, that's what I've been watching. And that's really all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I definitely agree that you have to check out at least one episode, if for nothing else.
Then the opening song.
The opening song. But it is very, very cute, and it is very much about, you know,
finding yourself.
Nanami.
Yeah, finding
not
herself.
Only finding herself, but, you know, getting through that, you know, weird stage where, you know, girls not only notice boys but really want to be with a boy but don't really know exactly all
what
that entails.
What does being
but,
with a boy mean?
But anyway, you gotta
actually,
check
that's
it out.
Pretty accurate.
Cute. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
But does that mean I get to just hold hands and look cute in front of him all the time? I wish it were that simple.
Oh, if only it were that simple.
If only it were that simple.
It's not that simple.
It will never be that simple, ladies.
Never that simple.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. Never, ever be
never
that
make
simple.
It.
Ever.
Never make it. Never, ever make it. Never
so,
make
video
it.
Games. You've played them, right?
I have played almost all the video games.
Not
no,
all.
Not really.
Don't lie.
Not really. No, I want to play all
don't
the video games.
Don't lie before Christmas.
I want to play all the video games. I don't get the time to play all
right,
the video games.
All right, that is games. More accurate. But what have you played recently?
Well, let's see. I, you know, last week talked about Call of Duty and went back through and got the best possible ending.
I am proud of you.
I was super focused. I was able to do everything I needed to save everything.
Save everyone.
Well, I saved all the people that deserve to be saved. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you weren't Jesus?
No, I mean, because some bitches need to die. So there's that.
Said no Jesus anywhere.
Said no Jesus anywhere. But that was really enjoyable. And I think that when you play it, Panda, you will actually find it to be pretty doggone enjoyable as well. So I'm really
curious. It's got to sit on my back burner.
I know. You got something. Your list
I love
is
that
as
my
deep is my list
and
now.
The only reason why my list is as deep as your list is because they're all your games. But you ain't got the time to go through 6 games.
Well, I went through 2 of them.
Yeah.
And you just need to play 2 of them.
Well, yeah, but
and so one of them
is a hot ticket item
yes.
that I have to get through.
You got
to
get up all on
I got to get all up in it.
So, hopefully next week you'll have
Absolution.
Some Hitman Absolution to talk about.
Oh, you know I will, girl.
I hope you are absolved. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I am
but,
absolved.
I got a Wii U.
No, really?
Yes, really.
I didn't see any pictures on Facebook.
That's because you didn't take the video off my phone to put the unboxing.
You were supposed to send that to me, but that's beside the point.
No, but I got distracted. So, much so because I was finishing our holiday gift guide, which is available. You can pick it up.
Yay!
It is in PDF form with hyperlinks. So you can be like, I want to get this thing from my friend. I don't have to Google search it and find it because we included a link directly to a web store that you can make the purchase.
I had nothing to do with this gift guide.
You were supposed to have something to do with this
guide. I was supposed
to
have something to do with this gift guide. But
you
did not.
Because somebody didn't do their homework.
I am owning that I didn't do it.
Don't say redeemable because you're
not redeemed. Oh, no, I'm not.
No redemption.
There's no redemption yet.
There's no absolution.
Yet.
Well, the guy's done, dude. So make sure that you hit up our page, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, and check out our holiday 2012 gift guide. There's all kinds of stuff in there. There's recommendations for the 3DS, for the Wii U, for iOS, for your Xbox peeps, your PS3 peeps, your peeps that like the music, peeps that like the movies.
I'm sorry, every time I keep hearing you say peeps, I just imagine the marshmallow fluffs. Like the marshmallow bird with headphones on, or the marshmallow puff.
Could you, I'll tell you right now, if there was a peep that wore an Astro Gaming headset,
they'd have to make one small enough for...
It would be the official peep of the ESH podcast.
Like, what's the peep think? Nothing, because it's not alive.
It's not really alive.
If it had thoughts, I'd be scared.
The peep disapproves.
Oh!
Disapproving peep.
That's not very nice.
You don't want to get a disapproving peep from our podcast.
No.
But definitely check it out. We spent a lot of time on it. There's great recommendations in there. So if you're trying to figure out what's the perfect gift to give somebody who really likes FPSs, we got you covered. Get the guide. Follow the links. Make the purchases. Suck less at gift giving when your geeks and nerds are thought of this holiday season. We're here to help you suck a little less. But
love that pacing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Outside of the gift guide, I did get a Nintendo Wii U. And
finally, which one did you get?
I went with the deluxe set because there are two options that you can get. The basic set, which is the white Wii U, which comes with a new Wii U controller, which has the touchscreen in it.
The gamepad.
It's a 8 gig internal storage device. Again, with any Wii U model, you can expand the storage by using SD cards, but it has 8 gig internal. Or you can get the deluxe setup, which will cost you a little bit more, as the 8 gig set is $299. The deluxe set is $349.99. It is a black Wii U. It has the same amount of controllers and in and outs as the basic set, but it does have 32 gigs of internal storage, as well as a charger and additional stand for the Wii U. It also comes with a Nintendo Land game, so you get a game, you get the charger right off the bat, the standalone charger, as the Wii U controller is rechargeable, which I think is one of the best benefits of the controller. So I opted to get the deluxe set. One, because I knew that there were going to be some titles that I was going to get as digital purchases. Just because I don't go out to GameStops very often with my work schedule. It's easier for me, and frankly, it's more likely that I will purchase a title if I can get it digitally delivered and quickly. So I do purchase a lot of digital games. I have a couple of Call of Duty games that the only reason why I own them is because I was able to purchase them digitally. I have a lot of DLC that I purchase that way, as well as indie titles that I will purchase because they're available digitally and relatively inexpensive. So I knew that storage was going to be something that I wanted a nice chunk of internally, not just for save games, but the ability to do at least my initial purchases directly to the device. I more than likely will end up getting a couple of SD sticks, specifically just for managing titles down the road for the Wii U, because I definitely see that as something that I will do. But right off the bat, I was like, I just want the storage built in. And black is sexy to me, so I just opted for that one. I will say that in starting up the system, and I'm going to preface all of this with, I'm very happy with my Wii U. I can't say I'm in love yet, because I only have two games, Nintendo Land and the Super Mario's game.
So are you in infatuation like?
I am like in like.
Okay.
Like serious like.
There's so much serious liking going on right now.
Yeah, I'm like past infatuation. I'm in serious like. With the Wii U right
now. I haven't found anything to not like about you yet, but it's still early.
But I do have a couple of things that I'm like, ugh. But again,
but they're not deal breakers to you.
It's not a deal breaker. So my first thing is the setup and going through all the screens. It's not as intuitive as I expect.
Not as intuitive?
As I expect Nintendo to be. So where I expected a couple of options to be to change or update things, they weren't there.
All right.
You know, and so it took a little bit of a mind shift to remember that. So when you go through the setup, when you're setting everything up as a new user, once you get to the actual Wii menu, it's laid out very well. It's, I feel, a more polished version of what Nintendo really intended the Wii menu for the original Wii system to be that they couldn't get to. So it's very much interactive. Hundreds of Miis from around the world show up in your plaza and are walking through. And in real time, content that they've shared to the Miiverse, which is the online network,
yes,
if that you will, for Nintendo, that allows you to share messages very much like bulletin board style through your Mii to the world or just to your friends, which you can very much like your gamer tag and have a friends list on your Xbox. You can do the same thing with the Miiverse. You can have 100 friends on this list, again, very much like the Xbox system. And you can see messages that people have posted to the Wiiverse. You can do text or you can do drawings. So you can handwrite messages using the stylus or you can type messages. And as you play different games, many of them are enabled with, as you reach pivotal moments, you can post your achievement or question or things like that to the Miiverse. So if you're struggling with a certain section, you can actually post to the Miiverse, you know, who's been able to actually get through this section of this game. There are individual communities in the Miiverse, which I think is very interesting. So basically it's a forum within the Miiverse dedicated to specific games. So there's a new Super Mario Brothers community within the Miiverse. There's already a Zombie U one where people are asking questions and they're getting answers and everything is, you know, posted very much like a forum. So responses and comments are seen in thread, which I find to be very interesting. It's actually very simple to use once you get into it, but realizing where it is and how to adjust your settings, which you imagine would be in the settings menu, are not. They are actually available from the user settings menu, which you can only get to by actually tapping on your user icon on the screen.
Unnecessary.
So where you would imagine user settings being under settings, they're not there someplace else. So it's little things like that that are just a little off. And I understand that, you know, why things are moved into a couple of the different places, but I still find it to be a little counterintuitive. So that was kind of my first, like, But again, not a deal breaker. I was able to figure it out, and probably if I had read through my manual from beginning to end, as opposed to just the what to plug into where to make sure it turned on right, I wouldn't be as confused about a couple of things and where they are, but whatever. So, got my Wii U hooked up. I have not transferred my data from my Wii to my Wii U yet, but that is something that you can do, and I thought that was a smart move. So just like when you move from a 4-gig Xbox to a HD Xbox or one that has a larger hard drive, you have the connector cable that allows you to transfer your data from your old system to your new system. You can do the same thing with your Wii data to your Wii U.
Uh-huh.
And you basically just have to have the ability to plug into power and get your Wii on the data onto an SD card. And then take that SD card over to your Wii U and be able to transfer your data. Everyone that I know so far that has done the data transfer hasn't had an issue with doing the data transfer. So that's really cool to know. I'm looking forward to doing that because I do have some saved games and some games that I will more than likely attempt to play on my Wii U that I have played on my Wii. I did keep my Legend of Zelda game, and so I might actually finish it on my Wii U.
Well, who'd thunk
it? I know, right? Me, finishing a game on the Wii U? Right off the bat, the Wii U does have some of the popular media streaming applications available. So YouTube's available right off the bat. Netflix is available right off the bat. As well as Amazon's streaming service, which I think...
Because that'd be the only way anyone would use it.
Well,
yeah. Come on. Be real.
You're kind of right. But the two games that I have, like I said, Nintendo Land and Super Mario Brothers, the only experience that I've had right now. And I gotta say, the reason why I'm in like and not in love is because I didn't get an adult game yet for the Wii U.
For the test of AAA exactly. adult titles.
The test, I wanted to test, okay, what would your first experience with Wii U more than likely be if you are picking one up for the family enjoyment or that kind of thing. I have not finished a Super Mario game since the late 90s, and that's not going to change. But what I will say is I have enjoyed playing the new Super Mario Brothers game. I think that Panda will have much more fun with it than I'm going to. And really, for me, the test of whether or not I'm going to be in love with this system or... I'm going to be in...
Or if it's going to be one of your ex-boyfriends that you could see...
If it's going to end up like PS3 or not, is going to be an adult game. And one of the things that I like is right off the bat, the launch titles that are available in retail are also available for download. So you can buy the Assassin's Creed game 3 right from the Wii in the eShop, download it and play it. So if you weren't able to get a game on launch because your GameStop was all out and they only had...
You could just digitally download it and already have it.
And already have it and be run with it. And the same thing with the Batman game. And I thought that was really impressive. You know, because one of the things that always is a letdown for me on the Xbox is that when games come out, it's quite some time before the game becomes available as a pure digital purchase. You know, usually there's anywhere between a 6-month to 12-month time between when the game is released in retail and when it shows up in the digital store. And I thought that this was a really smart shift for Nintendo to make by making the AAA titles available both in-store or as a digital download at the same time for launch. So if you weren't able to get a copy of Call of Duty Black Ops 2... for your Wii, you could, right then and there, purchase it and download it. So I hope that this is kind of a hallmark for things to come with the Wii, because if a game is available as a digital download as well as physical purchase on the day that it releases, one, I think it's going to bite into a little bit of the pre-order business, but it's going to, I think, encourage more casual gamers to pick up games than they would normally. You know, being able to get the game as I'm sitting on my couch is probably going to get me to purchase it faster than if I have to order it on Amazon or GameStop and wait for it to get shipped and pay extra money to get it shipped faster or find a GameStop near me on my way home from work so I can pick it up on my way home from work. You know, convenience does do a lot, and I think that that's where the Nintendo Wii U eShop is got an advantage over the shop that's available for the PlayStation as well as the Xbox. So I may end up, which I said I wasn't going to do, but I may end up actually getting the Batman game for the Wii U because it is
Armored
available.
Edition?
Yeah. Because it is available as a digital download, so I have an adult game to try out. Because for me, you know, being what I like to call a mid-level gamer, where I'm not hardcore, but I'm definitely more than casual, a more adult title that really kind of taxes what the Wii U can do, I think for me will be kind of the mark of approval, the test to really see, okay, is this going to stand the test of time with me, or is this going to end up, you know, being the system that I hang off of the family TV in the family room that I don't touch. And I feel like right now it might not end up in the family room. So we'll just have to see. But I will say, as far as the setup goes on connecting stuff, it was really straightforward, very much like my Wii was. I look forward to doing my data transfer. Again, just because I have some data that I want to bring over. But I got to tell you that my time that I spent with Nintendo Land, which I had really written off during the E3 press conference, changed my mind about the game, to be honest.
Oh?
Yeah, you know, I really just thought of it as like Carnival Games expanded. And it's a lot more than that. I've played one game, which was the Pikmin minigame, which you actually get to use your me or any me that you've created as Captain Olimar. And it's a bunch of mini levels that you have to solve with your Pikmin in order to get Olimar off the level. You know, so a super, super condensed Pikmin game. And the controls were very simple. It was very easy to jump into, but it was a puzzle solver. And I did find myself having to quick think my way through a couple of things, which I liked. And as I looked at and played a couple of levels, and I think, Panda, you played one as well.
Yeah, I played a boss level.
You know, it was very, very easy to do. But it was fun, and it was challenging, and I didn't really think that it was going to be. You know, Nintendo Land really kind of looked like something very safe that you could set your kids in front of and walk away and do whatever you needed to do in the house and not have to worry about them. And my perception was changed, and that was just from playing the one mini game. So I'm really looking forward to playing some of the other games that are in there, and even within the games that you walk into each archway to play the games, there's also a mini game because you earn coins for every level you complete in the game. You can unlock basically set dressing to spruce up your Nintendo Land arena. So it's not just the archways, but you can earn things in games as well. So there's a lot of complexity there for any game completionist. So it's definitely more than what I thought it was going to be. So I have to tip my hat to Nintendo for that, because it surprised me. And I will probably play all of the mini games now in Nintendo Land, just so I get a feel for them all. But it also very easily and inconspicuously get you comfortable with the controller, because the Wii U controller is definitely different from any controller that you've used with a Nintendo system before.
You are talking about the gamepad, right?
I am talking about the... I don't want to say gamepad, because there is a Wii gamepad, which is your traditional button masher. It looks like a souped-up Super Nintendo controller. So I want to say the Wii U controller with the screen, and not the gamepad, because a gamepad exists, and I really wish that they'd given it a different name.
I was about
name.
To say, because it's the Wii U gamepad. They're calling it
that. I know. And it's just so weird, because they also already have a gamepad. So it's like Wii U gamepad or the Wii gamepad. I'm like, no, why do you name it the same thing? What's wrong with you? So the Wii U gamepad has two Z buttons. It has the traditional A, B, X, Y buttons. You have a plus and minus button. You have a home button. You have two analog sticks and a D-pad. The two Z buttons are your trigger buttons. I don't know why I'm going through puberty again, but I find it to be very heavy.
She's so heavy.
No, seriously. Like, all for right. Long amounts of gameplay, it's very heavy.
I can attest to that, because of the one level that I played. I mean, granted, I haven't held anything that wide. You know what I mean? Shut up. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you, for people who play with tablets, mm-hmm. who are used to playing games on a tablet, would probably be more acclimated to holding this, where I don't do a lot of that gameplay on tablets. So for me coming into it, I'm like, oh, already, you know, my left hand is clawing just to get used to holding the Wii U gamepad. So I definitely felt the difference right away. So, I mean, for someone like you who has extensive tablet use, I'm surprised that you don't get more, you don't have more endurance for that.
It's not about endurance. The thing is, the tablet that I play on is not as heavy.
So.
And so, for long periods of time, and by that I mean after about 20 minutes, when you're having to hold the Wii U gamepad and use it as your viewfinder, which you can do in Nintendo Land, so you actually hold it up and move it around and it changes the view that you have on screen or on the gamepad screen itself. As you play, you start to feel the weight of it more and more. And so at times, it will even tell you on the screen that you should put it on a flat surface and just play with it on a flat surface, because you're going to spend so much time in the game that it's really going to be very heavy in your hands. And part of that is because of the recharge mechanic of the device. The feature requires, you know, a rechargeable battery be built in, and those things are not necessarily light. So it does have that kind of strain, which is why for most games that you have the option of playing the game with the Wii U gamepad or with a Wii U wand. And so my thought is that more people are going to default back to playing with the Wiimote controls as opposed to always playing with the Wii U gamepad just because of that heaviness. Not all games are going to have the ability to jump off the screen and jump onto the screen of the Wii U game controller pad, the gamepad, but many of them do. The two games that I'm playing both do. And I found that playing the Mario game was actually a little bit easier playing on the gamepad than playing on the screen. I got my timing better on the smaller screen than on the larger screen, and found myself thinking, I could just be playing this on my 3DS. I mean, the screen isn't as large as my 3DS, but I felt like if I'm focusing on it like this, I'm
3DSing. Well, remember, you're also only playing singly right now. And I think the whole versatility of using the Wii U gamepad and, you know, the Wii U console entirety is to do the multiplayer element where you've got, you know, two to four people playing on Wii U while you are doing, you know, above God stuff on the gamepad.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's where it shines and it really separates itself from the other consoles that are out
there.
Is that
would make the game
the Wii U is designed for multiplayer. You can do things single player, but it's really designed for multiplayer.
Yeah, I would agree to that.
And whereas the Xbox is not designed for multiplayer. The PlayStation 3, I don't feel, is designed for multiplayer. You can do multiplayer with it.
But that's not what they want you to do. They want you to be by yourself in your room at night
alone. That's not who it was designed for. It was designed for single player campaign that you could add on another person, or eventually you could add on more than one other person. And I feel like both the Wii and the Wii U were designed for four players. And now the Wii U was designed for, you know, four player plus.
Yeah.
And that I haven't gotten a chance to do yet. But I feel like that will be the final, yep, here you go. Now you can have your complete stamp of approval, Ninja, because this is really a great experience. So I'm looking forward to doing some multiplayer. And many of the Nintendo Land games support 2 to 5 player, which is 4 Wiimotes
and the gamepad.
The gamepad. So I'm really looking forward to doing some of those multiplayers and having some friends over, especially during the holiday season, to take advantage and try that stuff out. Because I feel like that's really where the console will finally kind of slam dunk me. Because right now, like I said, I'm in serious like, the graphics look great. The load screens, now that I'm away from all the new people jumping on to the servers to register their Nintendo IDs and get eShop set up and things like that, I feel like it runs really smoothly. You know, the load times on a couple of the games are a little long, but that's just because they've just recently had updates run. I do like the fact that Nintendo gives you the option when you put in a game that has an update that they immediately start to download. They give you the option to go ahead and start the game anyway and allow the download to continue in the background. And just the next time that you launch the game, it'll apply the download, as opposed to having to wait for the download to completely finish and it for to update your title so that you can go back in and start it and play it. Or as I call it, the forced pee break. I really like that.
Forced pee break!
And I wish that the other consoles did something similar to that. But I gotta tell ya, I am not disappointed with my Wii U. And there are a lot of people that are throwing haterade on the Wii U. But I gotta tell you, so far, I'm not disappointed.
Well, I'm glad for you.
Oh, don't say it like that. You can play it.
I'm glad for you!
You can play my Wii U, too. Just, you have to come visit. Okay. It's all part of my fiendish plot to get you to come visit. Other than just when we record a podcast.
Or when I'm thirsty.
Or when you're thirsty. Or when you're hungry.
At both, usually at the same time.
Both, usually at the same time. So, those are my thoughts on the Wii U. For me, it's, if you have a family and you're looking for stuff to get together and do, not just board game night, but a way to freshen it up.
Spice up
game night. And you don't have a game system in your household, you should really be considering the Wii U this holiday season.
Go donate some blood or some sperm or eggs.
Try to find one if you can.
Yeah, because they're just on the floor sometimes.
Because they're... What? I don't even...
The Wii U. Like, oh, go find it. Like, you're just going to find one on the street one day.
Well, no. I mean, they're selling really well. So, a couple of places ran out of stock. And, you know, we're going into holiday. So, it's going to be a real popular item. So,
hopefully you already got it.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting for Christmas to unbox it.
Yeah. But if you're looking for a great gift for your family, I have to say, I recommend it. I think that it is a really wonderful system. I think Nintendo has done a fantastic job with the device, really kind of thinking about how gamers not only do game together, but could game together, and pushing some boundaries on that. So I tip my hat to them on that. But definitely, definitely check it out. I will more than likely pick up the Ninja Gaiden game on it, because I think that might actually make it playable. So, that's what I got. Woo! What up? Is that all the stuff you got for the people this week, Panda?
Yeah.
Well, then I guess I gotta remind you that you can read all the thoughts that we have on video games and anime and all kinds of other nerdy stuff on the website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Or if you want to catch up with podcast episodes and other content that we come up with, you can always go to our home site, which is www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co. The short address, a bunch of the long one. Check out any articles that have been written within the week. All questions and comments go to our Facebook page.
Facebook?
Facebook.com/Land of Ash. Not to mention, obviously, since you're hearing it now, we do a podcast thing sometimes.
That's right. Weekly, we put out brand new episodes of the ESH podcast, which you can get by subscribing to the podcast either via the iTunes podcast application that you can install on your iOS device through the App Store, or searching the iTunes Music Store or the Microsoft Store for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button to ensure that the moment we put the podcast out for consumption, you get it. Or you can
plug us into any RSS feeder or any podcast search engines, but If you're looking for us, you should look for our friends, too.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the land of Esh. You can check out our podcast episodes, Poppin' Fresh, typically on Mondays. Follow that up with the Testosterone to Our Estrogen, the Boston Bastard Brigade on Tuesday. Homies, love those guys. You can then follow that up with some straight nerdery from Deuces Wild over at geekagro.com. And for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated. Like I said, there's all the stuff that we write about on all of our respective websites. You can check out what we as a team come up with on the EGM page. And you can get us on the Facebook, like Panda said. You can jump on the Twitters if you want to be in the know with all the stuff that we're writing about, events that we're covering, and things like that. Then you want to tune in to us on Twitter at ESH News. If you want to find out and follow just the individuals that make up the team, which I swear will add so much awesome sauce to your Twitter feed, then you want to make sure that you go to my page, twitter.com/NinjaSista, and follow the team from the ESH Land of S list. Man, we are so up on the interwebs. It's like cray. It's cray.
Okay.
Panda, what you got for the people? What shit you digging this week?
Converse.
Ooh, Chucks are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chucks, I like them.
Chucks are good.
I like them a lot.
Mmm.
What shit are you digging this week?
I'm digging Lindman's Flambois. Flambois. Really?
Flambois! Yeah. It's the bois of flam!
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm 21, so I can drink.
You're over 21.
Why you gotta be like that?
Because you are.
Fine. But I really enjoy it because I like fruity beers, and it's a
fruity
damn
beer. Fruity beers.
I like fruity beers, and it's a fruity beer because I'm a fruity person. No, what? I am. I'm bubbly like a fruit. If I was a fruit, I would be a strawberry. But also, I... shut up. I'm also digging gift cards because they're a great gift the holiday season. Gift
cards. You don't know what to get your geek? Get them money to a particular place that you know that they shop. And then when they find something lit, they're like, ooh, I wish I had the money for that. I do, thanks to this...
Gift cards.
Gift card.
They don't suck.
And they never expire, like coupons.
Well, sometimes they do. But for the most part, gift cards don't suck. So as always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we will see you with a brand new episode next week.
Happy Hanukkah.